You are listening to Pandora's Box on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. And coming in live from the moon, we are your hosts for the hour,
Bista
and Layla.
And this week's myth is the myth of the Chinese moon goddess Chang'e. Hopefully our pronunciation is right. We went based off of the IPA transcription.
Okay, linguistics.
Yes, that's what we got from that.
Bista's in linguistics. Yeah. She does that.
Yeah. And I actually wanted to give a really special shout out to Sarah for suggesting this week's myth, because today is the 15th when we're recording this, which is the Mid-Autumn Festival, which you'll find out why that's important in a minute. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's also, like, it's not the full moon, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a full-ish moon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And as always, if you have a story or a myth that you want covered, let us know. You can reach us at our email address, pandoragate404@gmail.com. Okay.
So moving on to the myth, tell me about Chang'e.
Okay, so I should preface by saying that in some retellings, there are a little bit of variations, as there are with all myths. In some, she's forced to do what she does. And in others, you know, she's just a greedy woman who steals the elixir that she steals. But in all versions, she drinks this potion, becomes immortal, and flees to the moon.
Just, like, spoiled the whole myth.
Sorry,
by
guys.
The way.
Spoiler alert. But one of the earliest appearances of this myth was in the Gui Kang, an ancient divination text. And in this telling, Chang'e took the Western Queen Mother's medicine of immortality and ate it, and then she fled to the moon. And then after doing this, she became the essence of the moon. So yes, that's a little background. And now the actual myth itself starts with in the ancient world where there were 10 suns and no moon and no nighttime. So it was just really hot and the crops couldn't be farmed. So people were starving, people were dying. And then Hu Yi, who is an archer, decides that enough is enough, and he shoots down 9 out of the 10 suns with his bow and arrow. And for this act, he's awarded an elixir of immortality by the goddess Shi Wangmu. I hope my pronunciation is right on these. Excuse my pronunciation.
Yeah, if her pronunciation is wrong, call us.
Yeah.
And let us know.
Mm-hmm. He ends up being like, I don't really want to drink this and be immortal if my wife doesn't also get to be immortal. So he hides the elixir under his bed. And then his wife, Chang'e, steals the elixir and drinks it and ascends to the moon because she was like, why would he hide this from me? I want to be immortal. So then Hu Yi, like, runs out and he tries to shoot her down as she's flying up to the moon, but he misses every shot. Like, this was Yal's man who just shot down 9 out of the 10 suns. Like,
he
no
can't
sweat.
Shoot one. I mean, he shouldn't shoot his wife.
Right.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But
he tried
we do
and
question
failed, like,
his. He's not very consistent with his aim.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't deserve that elixir. Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Because then that would actually, like, kind of solve the whole issue of her drinking it, no?
Exactly.
I feel like I read somewhere that she, like, was under the impression that there was enough of the elixir for both of them or something as well. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's definitely variations.
A lot of variation, yeah.
And I think a lot of it might come down potentially to how much the person telling the story likes women.
Oh.
sorry to get right into that. But, like, I don't know. Let's not discuss yet. But
yeah, we'll keep that on the back burner.
Exactly.
So, yeah, basically he tries to shoot her down. He fails. But afterwards, he kind of calms down a little bit. He stops being angry, and he's like, wait, she must be so lonely right now on the moon. Like, my poor wife, she's all alone up there. So he starts placing her favorite desserts and fruit out every night outside their door as offerings to her to, like, kind of make sure that she knows she's not alone. He's still here for her, still thinking about her. And he did this every day until the day that he died.
Wait, aw.
Yeah.
That's kind of
really
sweet.
Really cute.
Wait, his love language was cutting fruit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a very, yeah.
Okay, and so this tradition of him leaving out the fruit and dessert continues on today in the Mid-Autumn Festival, which is celebrated on the 15th day of the 8th lunar month. So November 15th, which is today, but when this airs will be about a week ago.
But yeah, as I was hearing about this tale, I was like reminded about this one song from Clairo's new album, Charm, which released like a few months ago, I think like earlier this year. And it's the song is called Nomad. And me and our friend Deanna, it's like our current favorite song in this album right now. It's sort of sad. It's a bit lonely. So it's like kind of a surprise favorite song. Like I feel like I normally like stuff that's a bit more upbeat. But I don't know. It's just like the lyrics sort of remind us of Chonga's trajectory to the moon. Mm-hmm. You know, this sort of general theme of like loneliness, but also never quite being separate from her husband. And yeah, like the loyalty that he shows by, you know, cutting up fruit and offering it to her every night. And yeah, so without further ado, Nomad by Clairo. Welcome back to Pandora's Box on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. And that was Nomad by Claro.
We wanted to take a brief moment to bring attention to a missing UBC student, Joseph Maku. By the time that this comes out, we hope he's back home and safe, but regardless, here's some information about him. The Surrey RCMP is requesting public assistance in locating 18-year-old Joseph Maku, who was reported missing on October 23rd. He was last seen on October 22nd in the 9600 block of 130th Street in Surrey. Police and family are concerned for his health and well-being, and he's described as an 18-year-old black male, 6'5", 200 pounds, with black hair and brown eyes. He was wearing a black hoodie, black North Delta Huskies basketball shorts, and black and white basketball shoes the last time he was seen. If anyone has any information on the whereabouts of Joseph, please contact the Surrey RCMP at 604-599-0502 and quote file number 2024-157805. Okay, and introducing our next song, we have 10% by K-Tronada featuring Caliuchis. By K-Tronada featuring Caliuchis. Very fun song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have some thoughts as well.
Yeah. And, you know, since Layla is a math major,
okay.
I think she crunched some numbers actually, and she has some statistics that she wanted to let us know about 10% and Chonga.
Yeah, exactly. So, as we all know, like, statistics are super important.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think about it, right, like, Chonga's husband, like, shot down, like, 9 out of 10 suns in the sky.
Okay.
leaving what? 10% of the suns in the sky.
Wait.
And that's how far the influence goes, right? Because mm-hmm. if we think about it, like, the influence of Shangge and the influence of the moon is just, like, one of those, like, things that we could probably go on forever about. I was thinking, like, just in general, like, considering the broader themes of the moon being associated with, like, femininity and elegance and other stuff, and how that, like, stretches across so many different cultures, was, like, Sailor Moon by Naoko Takeuchi. The very famous anime manga that, right, about, like, Sailor Moon, the moon princess.
Yes.
The magical girl, right? And how, if you really think about it, there's a lot of similarities between Sailor Moon and Shangge, and that's likely because, obviously, like, all contemporary media draws from all these, like, very classical stories and these, like, cultural, you know, staple stories. And everyone knows, like, how big, like, Chinese mythology, or how big of an influence Chinese mm-hmm. mythology has had on, yeah. like, you know,
so
not
much
just
other,
like,
mythology,
right? Like, not just, like, within the region, but even further and stuff. So, yeah. Anyways, that's my little statistics think piece.
Love statistics and Sailor Moon.
As a disclaimer, I am actually not a math major, so please don't email us asking me to solve math problems or anything like that. Like,
can you do my web work?
Yeah, I can't. I can't. I don't even know what web work is. So,
okay. I actually also had a point about influence of the moon. The moon exists in so much media, right? Like, so many movies, be it, like, mm-hmm. space movies, like Supernova 2000 starring
James Spader
and Angela Bassett. Or, sorry, do we want to talk about that a little more?
We could talk about that because we watched it last night.
Not in full. We watched part of it.
We watched
parts of it. We don't
know
what happened.
It's like this sci-fi movie. Wait, and say it again. Supernova. By, I'm not sure who the director is.
Let me look
at
this.
But the cast was like, Angela Bassett in the 90s, I want to say. James Spader in also the 90s.
Right. It was directed by Walter Hill and Jack Shoulder.
Yeah, it was like this really kind of like...
strange.
Can I say trashy? Is that mean?
It was like... It was a B-movie, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. About like... it was sci-fi, it was outer space. We didn't really understand the plot.
Yeah, we did not know what was going on.
But I'm sure that there was a shot where there was a moon of a solar system mm-hmm. in some distant galaxy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how far this moon influence stretches.
Yeah.
We need to stop talking about this movie.
No, trust. What I wanted to say is that basically movies about space have gone as far as Supernova.
Right.
But where's the origin?
I think
of
they've gone further.
About them? Yeah, they have definitely gone further as
than
well.
Than Supernova.
But what is the original moon movie, Trip to the Moon, 1902?
Right. I remember distinctly, like, my dad showing me this movie when I was, like, 10 or something. And he was like, this is, like, the first movie, like, ever, right?
Yeah.
And I was, like, so excited. I thought it was going to be, like, something so, like... you know, invigorating. And then for, like, my little 12-year-old brain, like, I was so bored. And also, like, all the women in the film, like, correct me if I'm wrong, actually, because I don't know if this is true, mm-hmm. but I think back then they didn't really, like, have, like, I think the women were playing, like, boys or the other way around or something like that. And it was, like, it was so random, and I was so confused.
Yeah,
and,
just the ridiculous.
You know, and, like, you know, despite not being a math major right now, like, I used to really like space and science and stuff as a kid. And I remember, like, you know, looking at satellite photos of the moon and being like, this is so inaccurate. Like, these bozos back in 1902 just had no idea what the moon really looked like.
Literally. And there's actually evidence of this in the film, because I'll tell you a little bit about the plot. So it's a French movie. It came out in 1902. And it's, like, the first movie film that's, like, longer than a minute from... like, the 1890s to, like, the 1910s.
Right, like, since film was invented.
And the plot is basically this group of people go to the moon in this rinky-dink rocket, which is sent to the moon in a cannon. like
not
ancient
before World War One
Napoleonic time canon, right? Yeah. They just put this rocket in the cannon and they're like, okay, bye guys. So they go to the moon and then they go in this cave.
And mind you, they go to the moon, no space helmets, no nothing. Like
just in like cotton
clothing. Zero understanding of like space, time, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they go to the moon. No, again, like as Layla said, no like any weapons, like no way to protect themselves.
Yeah,
like
dressed
gear.
Like they're going to go to the station and get on a train.
Yeah. So they show up and then they see this cave. They're like, let's go in this cave. And then aliens start to attack them. It's just ridiculous because it's shot in so few frames per second that it like it's just choppy. The film is also colored by hand. Like it looks like a child took like crayon and colored on. So the blobs of color move. It's actually kind of cool. But it just does not look like how you would expect a movie to look at all. But that movie has had an impact on my life. And if you haven't seen it, search it up on YouTube. It's like 10 minutes long.
Yeah, that's true. I would definitely recommend watching it. Just a quick aside on, like, you just got, like, I totally forgot that the film was hand-colored. Mm-hmm. And, like, a few weeks ago, I was, like, doing some readings or whatever for class, as one does. And we were studying, like, Meiji era, so, like, late 1800s photography, like, tourist photography in Japan. And how, like, these photos used to be hand colored and stuff like that, but with like the same techniques as like woodblock print artists would be using. So like in like changing times, like woodblock print artists were like using their skills of coloring to like color souvenir photographs of like, I don't know, like fake samurai and, you know, girls and stuff like that to sell to like the first tourists ever in like the first ever tourist boom in Japan, which has just not let up since, as we all saw from like everyone's Instagram posts in May this
Shibuya
year.
Crossing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyways, that was like just a quick aside. I just got reminded of that and like just how people, like how much work used to go into like literally producing a color photograph. Mm-hmm. It's deep.
Yeah,
deep stuff.
I think someone should try that with the current quality of film that we
That's
have.
That's true. That would be and really interesting. Like. Maybe we can do that to promote the show.
True.
Right?
So, yeah, just to wrap up the discussion about Trip to the Moon, I wanted to highlight a Letterboxd review that I read by Letterboxd user Russman, who says that A Trip to the Moon, quote-unquote, seems more legitimate than the real moon landing.
Wait, and is this accurate? Because I'm seeing real in quotation marks here. So does Russman believe that, in the moon landing?
I'm gonna take a really wild guess and say no.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not even the first person that we would encounter like in our lives that doesn't believe in the moon landing. Because I remember like way back when. Mm-hmm. What, like, two years ago. Yeah, like, these two guys came into your workplace and asked you about, like, the moon landing. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the story fully, so you're going to tell it, but...
So, I think I saw these men two or three times. Like, they came into my work. And they struck up conversation regarding the moon landing, and basically their proof was that we've never gone back to the moon. They were like, if the moon landing was real, why haven't they done it again?
which first of all, they have gone back to the moon a number of times, but
I just think the argument was so funny because I didn't really care enough to know, so I was like, okay, sure, they've never been back. And then I brought it up and our friends were all like, what are you talking about? Yes, they have been back.
But I guess maybe they're really smart for, like, going up to someone who was, like, on the clock and couldn't check their phone to verify that they'd gone back to the moon.
Yeah.
You know?
And I like that they tried to convince me multiple times, because the first time I was just like, okay, sure.
Yeah. But they didn't take sure for an answer. They were like,
you need to know.
You need to become, like, a moon truther.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was just a quick personal anecdote. Yeah. So let us go ahead with our next song, Stargirl Interlude. by The Weeknd featuring
Lana Del Rey. We chose this song because, I mean, not only is it an interlude and, like, hello, we need interludes, but because, like, if you really think about it, like, Changa is, like, the ultimate star girl. Like, she's up in the stars right now.
Exactly.
As we speak, has been for, like, millennia. It's very dedicated. So yeah. Enjoy the song, I guess, if you want.
I had a vision, of my nails in the kitchen, scratching countertops. I was screaming, my back arch like a cat, my position couldn't stop you hitting.
ZZ Theatre presents the Rainbow Youth Project, produced by Yanting Chu and curated by Brittany O'Rourke, Alan Pronger, and Bria Chance. This annual community storytelling project centers the 2S LGBTQ plus voices who often don't get a say in their lives, bodies, and identities. Bringing two-spirit, queer, and trans youth from across Metro Vancouver to share their stories. The Rainbow Storytelling Project is a low-barrier, one-on-one project in which people share true stories from their lives. It is designed to challenge stereotypes and preconceived notions of otherness, promote dialogue, reduce prejudices, and encourage understanding by connecting people who, under normal circumstances, might never meet. The Rainbow Youth Project will be running on dates November 16th, 17th, the 23rd, and 24th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Vancouver Public Library Central Branch on the third floor. This is a free event with no sign-up required. All that is necessary is your attendance and your empathy.
What do you love, and what do you love about it? My name is Ewan, and with I Love You Hour, I want to know. Come join me bi-weekly Tuesdays at 6 p.m. to discuss music and the stories we connect to it, either in person, on the phone, or through messages at I Love You Hour on Instagram. That's I-L-U-V-U Hour on Instagram, or through email at iluvhour@gmail.com. If you love sharing music and telling stories, listen to I Love You Hour bi-weekly at CITR 101.9. And remember, I love you.
Welcome back to Pandora's Box on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. The last song we played was Stargirl Interlude by The Weeknd featuring Lana Del Rey. Just in general, a very spacey song. Star boy, star girl.
Yes. Stars.
Stars. Speaking of star boys, let's talk about my star boy, Trent Alexander Arnold.
Are we going into that?
No, that's just all
okay,
I wanted to
sure.
say.
Okay, sure. That's fine. Yeah, you know what? Liverpool's at the top of the table right now.
You'll never walk alone.
And then you'll think about, like, the top of the sky and what's at the top of the sky, the moon.
True.
Yeah. Anyways, and that's all we need to say about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, we were talking about moon movies before, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Supernova.
Supernova's not a moon movie.
A Trip to the Moon.
A Trip to the Moon is definitely a moon movie. But, like, on the other end of that spectrum, because obviously, like, the moon has just been incorporated into so much media, like, I just really think that, like, what's up there for me personally is that one movie, Despicable Me, where, like, the minions, you know, like, the yellow minions,
yep.
they try to steal the moon unsuccessfully. And I kind of get it, right?
Yeah.
Like, ambitious, it's a really ambitious plan. Yeah, I mean, if anyone could do it, it's them. Minions, mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Gru, of course, he was there too.
Yeah, or whatever. I mean, do you think
that guy was there?
Yeah.
And Vector.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Look at.
Sorry, we have a few images pulled up right now.
Just Google minions stealing the moon and go to images. We have Vector in his little spacesuit. At least they had the mind to wear spacesuits.
Yeah.
Where was that in A Trip to the Moon?
I don't think they knew. It's kind of crazy, though, to, like, think about the fact that just, like, 100 years ago or whatever, that's, like, our great grandparents. Mm-hmm. Like, they literally probably did not know that outer space you could not breathe.
They were just making things up at that point. Oh, there's oxygen on the moon. But, yeah, the minions, honestly, it was a good effort, and we need to applaud them for that because they were trying to, like, they were holding axes and stuff. Like, they intended to cut the moon out of the sky.
Yeah. It was getting pretty intense. I was thinking we could maybe introduce our next song. This is a pretty music-heavy episode, no? Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
That's a good thing.
We've been feeling musical.
Yeah. So the next song is kind of drawing it back to the original myth itself about Chang'e and her husband and sort of how, you know, when she drank that elixir, right, like, regardless of what she knew, what she didn't, like, what she was thinking, I don't think she expected to, like, never see her husband again. And her husband clearly did not expect that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that it's very sweet that even though they live, you know, someone of another life than what they originally lived, he still, you know, tries to maintain that connection with her.
Yeah.
And yeah, with that, there was a name drop in there. It was super subtle. Yeah. I don't know if you even noticed it. But up next is Another Life by Pink Panthers featuring Rima.
Front of you with my makeup in the morning. Can you please wake up?
Welcome back to Pandora's Box on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. And that was Another Life by Pink Panthers featuring Rema.
I love that song so much.
Me too.
I just wanted to say.
I really like it.
Yeah.
We've been like, I remember listening to it when it first came out, but then like recently, I think you just brought it up in passing and I was like, wait,
yeah,
let me tap back in.
Because that whole album, I was like not really tapped into Pink Panthers' music. Mm-hmm. I like obviously knew her music from like
features,
the internet
and
like, yeah, features, because she had some like pretty big collabs. But recently on the plane, I was like, let me just listen to an album in full. And I picked Heaven Knows, which is like her new album. I think it came out in February of this year. And I was like, wait, so many good songs on this.
Yeah.
And this one's probably top three for me.
I think one of my favorite things about this album is like, it's so like, when you first hear it, it's so like pop. It's so like, or like poppy, I don't know. Very like upbeat and so like cute, right? But then like the lyrics and like the themes that she's exploring, even like the cover art, there's like, and also like the intro to this song, this past song, it's like very gothic, right?
Okay, vamp.
Oh. Yeah, and it's like, I don't know, I just really like the kind of, yeah, the juxtaposition or just the duality of her, you know, theme. And
she revealed her alchemy.
Yeah, exactly. She did. She really did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know what? Okay. Not to move back onto the moon, but I was just like thinking about how much I love the moon. It's like so.
No, that's true.
Yeah, sorry for being basic, but I really.
No,
like
this
the
girl
moon.
Fawns over the moon. Yeah. She loves it.
No, because I have like so many pictures of the moon on my phone where it's just like a blurry like circle. And when I finally got a camera this year that could like take a picture of the moon, like I literally stood outside for like, I don't know, like hours just like trying to take a picture of the moon. But I, you know, like my favorite thing is like when the moon is just like super, super bright. And I feel like you don't really get that in the city. But I was like on a really long hike this summer and like, you know, in the middle of the mountains, right? There's like no light pollution. There's like, you can't even see like a city or any kind of like man-made light anywhere nearby. And you can't even see the stars at night because the moon is so bright that you can barely see, like, the stars sometimes. And I just, like, thought that was so, like, incredible. Like, I just really think about, you know, in the olden days, like, before we really knew that much about the world, like, how people used to look up at the star, or not the star, sorry, the moon, and it would just be, like, really, really bright. And I don't know, were they scared? I would be scared a little bit, maybe, if I didn't know.
Yeah, like, what is that?
Right?
That's but probably how they felt with those 10 suns, to be honest. Imagine 10 suns leering over you.
No, I couldn't do it.
And they're, like, hot and scorching, and it's literally killing people left, right, and center, and you can't breathe from how hot it is.
Thank you, Changa's husband, like, is all I'm saying.
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out the archer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We're actually getting reports right now from, like, outside sources of, like, the moon just being really bright and beautiful
tonight.
Oh,
yeah, we have.
Yeah, apparently it is really, really beautiful. So if, by chance, you remember Friday, November 15th, how beautiful the moon looked. If I was Gru and I was stealing the moon, I would do it to, like, eat it. Like, I would just take a big bite.
Actually,
and I think that's
really
why it's a crescent.
You.
What's the good news?
You can, in a way, eat the moon because of mooncakes.
Oh, true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mooncakes are delicious.
Shout out Changa again.
For inspiring.
Yeah. I don't know if mooncakes specifically are what was left out for her or if it was kind of just inspired by her. But regardless, thank you to her for mooncakes.
Yeah, for
so now we're going to do some mooncake eating ASMR. So in case everyone wants to turn up the volume, just
so you can hear us eat mooncakes.
Nom, 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 nom.
Right.
No. Just kidding. There's no ASMR.
Yeah,
do not worry.
There's no ASMR. That would be kind of, I think,
I don't
think
we're
not
allowed
to eat in the studio.
Yeah. And regardless, that's nasty. Sorry.
Yeah.
Chewing sound ASMR.
No hate
gross.
To ASMR
yeah,
people.
Sorry.
But anyway, so our next song is by a Toronto-based singer and songwriter. She does a lot of R&B, and a lot of her melodies are very free and very soft. And her name is Rowena Fisk, and the song title, Dazed. Yeah, name dropped. Mm-hmm. I did.
Yeah. Anyways, enjoy
okay,
the song.
Sorry. Enjoy the song.
UBC Electronica, and we love electronic music such as
Run for them life when I step into the jungle.
We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
Okay, welcome back. That was Dazed by Rowena Fisk. That was a really good song. Actually, my first time listening to it, but it was...
I'm glad you liked it.
Yes, thank you.
This is like my second time listening to it, so...
Well, but I'll be listening many more times.
Exactly, that's what I was just about to say.
Exactly.
Okay. We wanted to talk about moon signs.
Yes.
Because why not, you know?
Second Deanna shout out of the episode.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Because she gave us this idea. Thank you. But
exactly.
Yeah, you're right. We do all have one.
We do all have a moon sign. Mm-hmm. And moon sign, for those who aren't like astrology nerds or whatever, is basically like
the position of the moon in the sky when you were born. Corresponding to one of the signs, like the zodiac signs.
Yes, the 12 zodiac signs.
My moon sign is Sagittarius. Layla's is Pisces.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're basically going to find out what this means about us apparently moon signs have to do with your emotions, like how you react to things, how you deal with your emotions, also just, yeah, I don't know, like your emotions in general. So yeah, my moon sign, Sagittarius, allegedly means that I'm a truth seeker, always in pursuit of the ultimate truth, whether in personal interactions or in understanding the world at large. And I value transparency and straightforwardness, and I'm often considered a trustworthy and reliable confidant, which I actually did see on TikTok earlier this week. Oh. That having a Sagittarius moon means that people love to spill their guts to me about everything.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Which is very true about my life, and everyone around me knows it, because sometimes I am told
people
things that it's just
spilling
like
a little too much
yeah,
guts
it's
to you.
A little bit, yeah. A lot. But yeah. So who knows? Maybe astrology is
maybe it's
the absolute
something.
Truth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Reddit right now, r/astrology, and opinions on Pisces moons, because I, you know, I feel like I know myself, but I want to know what people think about Pisces moons. And it's looking like very, like, emotionally, like, up and down, which I guess does make sense, because it's like a water sign, right? And, like, water is,
yeah,
like, very up and down, but...
That does make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm also looking on Reddit now about Sagittarius moons, and it says someone, user cyber_pest, said that they are best friends with two Sag moons, and it's 100% true that they will launch themselves to the moon rather than deal with anything too emotionally intense.
Wait, launch themselves to the moon. And there,
yeah,
we have it, folks. Mm-hmm. Like, again, this moon theme.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Chonga was a, yeah, Sag moon.
Pisces moon also says they're very creative. Thank,
okay,
you. I hope so. Okay, it is seriously deluded, unhinged.
Oh.
That's also in there, too.
Oh.
That's crazy.
That's nice.
I'm just going to ignore that, though, because, like...
No, that's okay. I don't see that.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. I'm not worrying about it.
So, yeah, we encourage you guys all to look into your own moon signs. Maybe see
interested.
If it applies to you. And if it doesn't...
Ignore it.
Ignore it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Nobody's going to force you to, like...
Act like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, wait. It says that I'm really funny. It says Sag moons are
that.
So insanely funny.
I don't know about that.
Hey!
I think you're misreading it.
Oh.
That's not for Sagittarius
moons. This person is actually going on and on about how funny they are. It's like a block of text.
Who's this person?
SugarPants11, who says that they themselves,
okay,
are a Gemini moon.
Okay. Well,
thank you, SugarPants.
Let's just take everything with a grain of salt, shall we?
Okay.
We've covered a lot this past
We have
hour.
Covered a lot. To wrap everything up, though, I wanted to play what Sarah, who gave us the idea for this entire episode, called the best song of all time, Fei Wong's cover of Dreams by the Cranberries. Fei Wong, if you don't know her, is a Chinese singer and actress. She puts out a lot of, like, she has put out a lot of music, but I think, for me at least, where I, like, really discovered her was in Wong Kar-wai's movies, namely Chungking Express.
Yeah, Chungking Express. She was also in 2046,
mm-hmm,
like, the sequel, I think, to, like, it's, like, a loose sequel to In the Mood for Love, which is, like, mm-hmm, one of his most famous works.
Yeah. But yeah, she did a cover of, or she did like a bunch of covers of Cocteau Twins songs.
Yeah, because I think that's like one of the, speaking of like, you know, keeping on that theme of influence, right? Like,
mm-hmm,
one of her biggest influences was Cocteau Twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode, for tuning in. We hope you loved it.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts if you have any.
Mm-hmm.
You probably know us if you're listening, so
yeah.
Just, like, tell us in person.
Yeah. And, yeah, so here is Dreams, the cover by Fei Wong.